one of my favorite questions, actually, and you might resonate with this here, is where is the health? So whether it's in relationship or whether we're talking about our bodies or whatever, where is the health? Where is what's going good? Where is the health here?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here on another episode. Oh, my gosh. We're just cranking them out every week, and I am meeting the most exciting people along this healing experience, this healing journey of mine. And the things that I am learning, I am putting into practice, and I'll tell you, they have made exponential bounds in the healing process, the healing journey. I'm at that point where I like to say we're optimizing our health now. And I hope you are too, joining me on that journey to optimizing our health. And that's not to say, I know, I hear from you like, Sharon, there's no cure. I'm not going to debate that point at all, because what I'm going to debate is you can optimize from where you are. You can always go forward from where you are. And so tonight we've got an interesting guest, and it's a little off topic. And so if you've got a lot of people who you're saying, you know, my family members don't have autoimmune, tonight our guest is really going to be able to help everyone. So I'm so excited about that. That is not just focused on autoimmune. So let me introduce her. Her name is Ani Anderson, and she is the CEO of the internationally regarded New Health Inc., headquartered in Willsboro, New York. She's a personal and professional development company that serves private clients, groups, and corporate trainings on self-leadership, motivation, stress resiliency, and sensation-based mindset methods. So that is just awesome. We'll talk some more. She has a great book out called Find Your Soul's Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. We're going to talk about that tonight. As I've read the book, I just love it. And a couple of her lines from it is, life is simple, but we make it complex. So welcome, Ani. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and have a conversation with you.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, I love this, life is simple, but we make it complex. And I want to ask a couple of probably rabbit hole type questions, but why is it that we tend to focus on the drama and the negativity and the why me's and the oh boys and which seem to just muddle up the whole thing?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to answer that question, but the one I'm going to choose right now is that we're used to it, and that's what most people do. So as people, we want to bond with each other. We want to connect with each other. And oftentimes in our society, the way that we do that is we connect over drama and negativity. You know, we don't have to, but I remember for myself, when I started to learn how to connect over other things besides drama and negativity, it felt really weird at first. Those aren't the conversations that most people are having.
That's true. That's absolutely true. When I think about it, drama, negativity, bad things happening to you, or the weather. And I find sometimes when I'm chipper and all excited about stuff, I'll bump into people that want to bring me down about it. And I find that fascinating. It's like, yeah, no, just jump on my happy train. Let's go. There's another line in here, which I just love too, because I've always said this and people look at me strange, but I think we're soul sisters here. Striving to be normal is dangerous. I love that. That's one of my notes here, because I always say, nobody wants to be average. everybody wants to be normal. And we try to bring down those people that are exceptional. So I never understand that, but I love that. Striving for normal is dangerous. Tell us what your opinion of that is from your book.
I love your ideas about that so much. You know, we look at the newspaper and we see these statistics. We see how many people are stressed out, and we see how many people are sick, and how many people are whatever it is, divorced, medicated, unhappy. And we say, you know, I don't want to be that person, but yet we want to belong. And so we strive for this connection. We strive for the, when we strive for the connection, a lot of times what we're doing is, again, bonding over those things that keep us sick and stuck and negative. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in finding out what it means to be your natural self. And as much as it does go against the grain, embracing your true nature, being you, instead of trying to be somebody that you're not by trying to live up to a statistic. Yeah.
And what I love about your book is it really resonated with me, because growing up, I think this is a very common, I've heard it on the show many times, phrases such as, who do you think you are? Or, are you getting too big for your britches? Or, I'm just, you know, I hear these kinds of phrases all the time from people who say that this created what I'll call an undercurrent of minor trauma. And when I use the word minor, I don't mean to diminish it, because it's not like a car wreck or, you know, a death or something. But to me, it's a slow trickle of all of that kind of trauma, which adds up to a major trauma, to where all of a sudden, we don't know who we are. Just because when you hear the phrase, who do you think you are? It's usually 99% of the time a disparaging type of voice tone to it. So let's walk through some of the processes you share in your great book, Find Your Soul's Agenda, on how we get past that and actually find out who we are.
Sure. So would it be good to talk about the Find Your Soul Agenda process in and of itself?
Absolutely. I love that. Let's jump into
it. Okay, great. So the Find Your Soul Agenda process is based on memory recapitulation. So we look at a holistic view of a person's life by asking them, what were your best memories in childhood, your personal life, and your professional life? So in that way, we get a few different aspects of a person's life. Now, I just want to say that some people don't have any best memories that they can come up with for certain aspects of their life, and that's totally okay. It ends up working out in the process. So after we do that, what we do is we look at each memory and we determine, how did that memory make me feel? And we're trying to come up with either one word or short phrases of words that are illustrating in that memory, how did I feel? And what that's doing is it's really pointing towards how we really want to feel in our life. And so we make this big list of feeling quality words, and we go through an elimination round where we go two by two, and we dwindle the list down to as small of a list as possible. Hopefully it will be one word. Sometimes it's two or three, but hopefully it'll be one word. And that's what we call the soul agenda word. Now, from there, what we do is we define that word. Because if we don't, then we're going off of society's definition for what that word means. This is, by the way, one of the places I was stuck in my own journey, my own purpose work for a while, was not being able to really figure out like what the words meant that somebody else was telling me. No, you're like this, you're like that. And I couldn't, it was, the words were hollow. So we define what the word means for ourselves. And then we come up with a purpose statement around that. And that purpose statement has to do with how I love to feel in the world and how I love to influence others. There's one last really important step in the process, and that is looking at how I don't love to feel. So it's looking at what we call the polarity. And the polarity is really, really important, because as an individual, we're like two sides of a coin. We're like a quarter, where I could either be looking at the heads or I could be looking at the tails. But what's really fascinating about that is when you're looking at the heads of a quarter, you know the tail is there, but you can't see it.
True.
You can't see it until you turn around, right? And when you're looking at the tails, you know the head's there, but you can't see it until you turn it around. And that's how we are. We're like the quarter. And in life, sometimes we can only see the heads, and sometimes we can only see the tails. But once we understand ourselves from a holistic point of view that encompasses both the sides of life that we love to experience and the sides of life that we don't love to experience, but those are two sides of the same person, we can really understand who we are from a holistic point of view.
That's so fascinating to me as I went through part of the process in the book. And some of the questions I had were regarding, I'm glad you mentioned that part about you may not have particular memories from certain areas, and that was fine. I'm glad you brought that up. That's critically important. My question is, though, when you went into it, people will tell you, you're like this or you're like that. And when it resonates hollow, but we're going, but I don't know what I am like. When we get stuck in those places, you mentioned you got stuck too. What are some things that you do will help get unstuck?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I love this process so much. So when I started to look for my purpose on my own, I was really stuck in my own life, and I was on the tail side of my quarter. I did not like how I felt in life, and I felt very stuck. So I took a few purpose courses, and the purpose courses, as lovely as they were one-sided. It was telling me about a me that was me, but I couldn't identify with at all. And it was because I was so far off base from that. My life had just really like crumbled. And so I just couldn't see those light aspects of myself. And so the words that were being used to describe who I was, I couldn't identify with them at all. So what I do now, because of the Soul Agenda process, is I recognize anytime I'm in that polarity, on that quarter, that backside of the quarter, anytime I'm in an experience in my life where I don't love how I feel, I understand that I'm still on purpose. And that's really the key aspect, is I thought before that I wasn't on purpose unless I was happy and successful and healthy and all of that stuff. But that's not true. Our purpose is to live life, and we can actually articulate ourselves and who we are. We can actually articulate that. We can articulate who we are and ourselves and our authenticity. And when we use that way as a Soul Agenda process, we're able to articulate our lives in a holistic way. So when I get in those places where I'm stuck, I know I'm still on purpose. It's really fascinating.
It is fascinating to me, and that two sides of the coin. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because oftentimes when we get a diagnosis, all of a sudden, like you said, you're only seeing the tail of the coin. And it's so easy to listen to the people who are telling you the diagnosis, and they tend to say it in a very direct manner. And we believe in the white coat authority, all those sorts of things. And they go down this list, sort of like those prescription television commercials where you're like, holy moly, okay, who would ever take that? They go down this list. And so sometimes that mindset or that place can almost be put on us, and it's our job to dig around and find a way out. And so can you share a little bit about that, when all of a sudden there is a quick life change that's all of a sudden other people are telling you, and I'll say authorities, different than your friends saying, oh, well, Sharon, you're like this. And you can kind of, yeah, well, that's just, you know, that's just Ani's opinion.
Yeah, I think that when we go through those things, there are aspects of us that crumble. We can no longer identify ourselves as certain things. Like, I'm thinking of a client who used to be a runner, and then, you know, she got a diagnosis and she couldn't run, and all of a sudden that identity was crushed for her, and she didn't know who she was anymore because she's so identified with that. And so the way that we identify ourselves is wonderful, because that's how we live our life and we express ourselves like that. But then we go through these certain times in life where our identity gets crushed, and we can either stay in that place of being crushed for a long time, or we can choose to redefine ourselves. And I found for myself, in a place in my own life where I needed to redefine myself or stay crushed, and staying crushed, you know, wasn't an option. I needed to move forward. So part of my redefining was this process. You know, that's one of the reasons why it's so powerful. It helps us actually put real language around things that sometimes we don't have language around. Like, for example, my Soul Agenda is to feel alive and inspire other people to feel the same. And so I use that as a compass for myself and my decision making. And honestly, it doesn't matter what happens to me in my life, I can still use the compass. Nobody crushed the compass, which is pretty remarkable. My identity could get crushed, but I still have my compass. I still have me. There's great power in that.
Absolutely great power in that. And I love that you take out the difference, or you divide the identity and the I am. Those to me are critically different parts. I know you said the me, but as I'm thinking about it, I'm putting it into other aspects of what I have studied over the years and understanding the difference between the identities we put on, cultural and otherwise. And sometimes when I say cultural, people think, well, you know, I've only one ethnicity, but, you know, culture can be where you grew up, where you went to school, the people you hang out with besides ethnicity, cultural, you carrying many cultural cards in your pocket at all times. The metaphor of the compass is very profound to me. So when someone feels, I sometimes say people get stuck in being a professional victim, but I like the idea of the crushed compass. The metaphor is very visual and able to really understand what that's about. When we go through that process and we find ourselves down at the bottom, you said you worked through the agenda process to find those words for you, and now that's your guiding light. When we're down there at the bottom, sometimes it's really tough to do that. What are some tips that you have when we're like, just like every place I turn or every time I move my finger, it hurts?
Yeah, great question. So I feel like from my own personal experience and working with clients that when we get to those places, what's happening is we're having emotions. And so I love to talk about my concept of what emotions are and how to work with them, because for me and the people I work with, this has been profound. So a lot of times the thoughts that we hear running through our head when we're in those moments are really overwhelming. We have thoughts of our parents, thoughts of our caregivers, our pastors, our media, whatever it is. It's like our, you know, conditioned responses or patterns are just playing through our head over and over in this tape. And it can be maddening and difficult to contend with, you know, to wrestle with. And so if we actually pay attention to the body sensations that we're feeling, I think that's super profound, because an emotional response is two things. It's a thought and it's a sensation. And so when we really pay attention to the sensations, you know, are actually the raw data of the nervous system. When we can pay attention to our raw data, our sensations, our moment to moment stuff, by paying attention to our body and watch it with curiosity. So we're genuinely like curious what's going on in our body with our sensations. I think that is really what can unravel this rabbit hole so that we're not going so deep into it. When we can watch our sensations with curiosity and not take them so personally, not get so wrapped up in them, they can actually morph and change right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I've seen mine morph and change quickly once I learned the process. I find it fascinating how things can just change immediately. I'm just always stunned by that. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk some more with Ani Anderson about Find Your Soul Agenda. And we'll go deeper into this because it's totally fascinating. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Ani Anderson, and she's the CEO and of the internationally regarded New Health, Inc., and they are a personal and professional development company. And today we're discussing Ani's book, Find Your Soul Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. Obviously, because we're autoimmune, start pointing it towards when we get these life-altering anointments, shall I say, by other authorities, when their words can actually ring so true because of what we believe about their position and their authorities. Do you find, I read this part in your book and I found it fascinating, when people start getting defensive around the labels that they've either accepted or created for themselves, and what ways can we, if we're all of a sudden realizing, maybe I'm owning that a little too much, or maybe I'm holding on to that a little too tight. What do you suggest when people have that moment of where they have that realization that maybe they're just a little defensive about this?
Actually, being defensive or recognizing that we're defensive is one of life's greatest gifts, if we can be with it in the moment. It can be difficult to do that, but when we can, again, watch ourselves with some curiosity, or even just kind of press a pause button on the moment and just be as present as humanly possible, what we'll notice is that under the defensiveness is fear. And so, like, a lot of compassion for ourselves, that's what's really going on. It takes a lot of vulnerability and it takes a lot of courage to allow our defenses to go down, perhaps to trust ourselves or trust another human being enough to say how we're actually feeling, to say what's really going on. Speaking our fears is ridiculously powerful. So, you know, I think that that's really one of maybe the biggest, most amazing things we can do for ourselves when we're finding defenses coming up.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to point back to a show we did with Sarah Payton. If you follow the show for a while, you know I've had Sarah on several times. And one of the wonderful things I love that she shares about this kind of fear that we find within ourselves that is self-generated is starting with the phrase, no wonder, and talking to our, whether it's our inner child, our inner self, whatever phrase we want to put around that, is like, are you feeling a little scared right now? Oh, no wonder. I can understand why you're feeling scared. That's a really scary diagnosis. And I know it sounds odd that you're almost talking as if you're talking to a little child, but that is such a fascinating, profound conversation that I have found uncovers even more defensiveness when I acknowledge what I think I'm being defensive about to my inner child in a way that allows them to feel like they're safe and they matter. It's an okay feeling. It's okay to be defensive. It's okay to be scared. That just using that language, no wonder, oh my goodness, you know, that makes sense to be afraid of that. That would be scary, wouldn't it, if it were true? You know, and so I just love that. So if you're really resonating with Ani like I am here, reflect back and catch Sarah Payton's podcast as well, because two of them just meld beautifully. And I wanted to talk to you about this part in your book that you have about the need not to get hurt. And that to me is a little bit different than defensiveness, because that's like throwing up the defenses before. To me, a defensiveness is I'm triggered and then I get defensive. But the need not to get hurt was sort of like the precursor to that, where I'm throwing up needless defenses that may or may not happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's wearing the armor all the time, you know, and kind of living our lives, our whole lives with these defenses up, like the armoring up. And we really miss out on some opportunities for really deep and meaningful connection and compassion and other beautiful stuff. I mean, I remember for myself when I determined that I had a need not to get hurt, I was back and forth with my ex-husband for what was 3 weeks, and we had a really amicable divorce, and we were fighting. And this was so uncharacteristic of our relationship before the divorce and after the divorce. It was ridiculous. So 3 weeks were going by, and I realized that what was happening was I really had a need not to get hurt. And so I allowed myself to feel pain around what was happening. And it was almost like immediately as I did, my concept of him morphed as well. And whatever was going on that I don't remember now was resolved within hours. You know, 3 weeks of stuff was resolved within hours. And I had a deep love and appreciation for myself and a deep love and appreciation for him, which going forward allowed us to continue to have a very open, honest, and reciprocal relationship.
That's beautiful. When you can get to that point where you can acknowledge those defenses even before you're aware of them or triggered. I love that about the coming from curiosity. That's a perfect word for it, of when we're finding things aren't working quite like we thought they should. I always like to come from that place of, isn't that interesting? And put that into my curiosity folder. And what I love about the curiosity folder from my perspective is it doesn't have to be solved right away. What I find fascinating about our subconscious mind is if we just go, wow, I didn't expect myself to react that way, or whoa, what, that's an interesting response I just had, and just put it into that, isn't that interesting file, all of a sudden, my best place is in the shower when all of a sudden I get, oh, I get it. I don't know why that is, but it'll appear when you're driving or just doing some walking, exercising, whatever, all of a sudden it appears. I just love that.
Yeah, I resonate with that so much too. I mean, the shower for me as well as that time when, you know, you're relaxed and the warm water and all of a sudden, bing. Yeah, that level of curiosity is so important. And, you know, it reminds me, as you were talking about no wonder, which is such an amazing technique to use, that our subconscious mind doesn't know how old we are. And so when we have that curiosity and when we're willing to give ourselves space, wow, there's just so much that we can discover. We're really fascinating. We're really interesting. And I think when you have that curiosity and can be genuinely interested in yourself, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like to always refer to myself as my own endless source of entertainment. because I'm always going, wow, that's interesting. Where'd that come from? And the idea is that the subconscious, unconscious mind has no understanding of time. So if you're going, but Sharon, gosh, I was, you know, six when my teacher looked over her glasses and shamed me or whatever, that doesn't matter. It's as fresh in the nervous system, in the fight or flight freeze nervous system, as it was happening. You know, it doesn't know you're six or 60. It doesn't know, which I find so fascinating too, because I'm like, I should be more mature than that. And then I go, well, no, not really, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. We put those judgments on ourselves, don't we?
So I want to jump ahead a little bit. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, does our soul agenda change over time?
So the answer to that question is, I'll be able to give you a better answer in 30 years. But for right now, I can tell you that I've been working with the process for about 5 years with other people, a little bit longer with myself. And I have found that at times people think that they have graduated into a new soul's agenda. And it's not true. Every time that this has happened, what's happening is a person is going into an aspect of themselves or their life, circumstances that they don't really love. And so the thought that maybe my soul agenda changed actually seems to like buffer them against the resistance. But when in fact, their soul agenda hasn't changed. They're experiencing some resistance. And if they can release from the resistance and go into the change or go into the growth, what they'll find is their soul agenda is the same. Their compass is the same. They can continue to use the information. Now, what might get polished, what might get polished or redefined is the definition of what that word means. So for example, my soul's agenda is to feel alive. So alive is that word that's different for me than it would be for you. And so I have a definition of what alive means. And that definition has changed for me over the years. I think I've gone through two incarnations of polishing that definition, because as I learn and grow, my definition of what that means evolves. And so that's what I see changes in people, but not actually the soul agenda.
I'm glad you bring that up, because when I think about my work, and people call my show here an irrational passion, because it is a labor of love. And as my community knows, in my real world, I do communications work, and body language work is what I do out there in the corporate world, my friends say the real world. When I think about, they're very different, but they're not different in my mind. They're both teaching self-advocacy. Whether you're speaking up for yourself in the boardroom, or you're speaking up for yourself in a doctor's office, or what have you, it's all the same skill set. And I find that that was where I went with my soul agenda, was that, yes, the context changed, but the actual definition of what I love to do, what I get jazzed to do, what I just wake up every morning wanting to do, hasn't changed.
Yeah. People will often want to know what their purpose is and have me tell them what they should do. But the interesting thing about that, just like you related, is I'm the same person at work as I am at home. Now, there might be different tendencies or reaction patterns that come up for me, but I am the same person. So wouldn't I have the same purpose? You know, does the person who goes to the grocery store have a different purpose than the person who takes her kids to school? No, you know, I'm the same person. I think there's some great kind of contentment just like peace of mind that comes from knowing that I don't have to be different in these different aspects of my life. I can be me.
Absolutely. And on that, beyond being her and Sharon, me being me, we're going to take another quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're talking about our soul's agenda. I hope you have other family members around, because this is absolutely not autoimmune specific. We've had some answers, and my questions are related to autoimmune, but everything that Anna Anderson is sharing with us tonight is absolutely 100% works for everyone. So listen in, because we're going to get a little deeper here. And on that topic, how can we help like family members find their soul agenda? Or what about maybe even kids? Have you worked with children?
I'm so glad that you asked this question. So to answer your second question first, I say no, this is not a process to use with children. I would recommend helping somebody to find their soul's agenda after they're about the age of 21. Some of the thought behind that I believe is that the soul isn't completely incarnated into a human being's fully in thought realm, in emotional realm, in physical realm until about the age of 21. So that's the answer to that question.
Well, that, and I'm thinking that the prefrontal cortex isn't even evolved until about that age too.
Exactly. So the best thing that we can do for the children in our lives is to find our own soul's agenda and to live in authenticity without shame and guilt of being who we are. I believe fully in that, and I've seen plenty of evidence of it in my own life. But to answer the first part of your question, I love, like, just love, juicy love, to do this soul agenda process with another person. Because what we find is that everyone around you is your soulmate. So if you are to do this process with another person, perhaps it's a caregiver, perhaps it's a partner, perhaps it's a sister or a brother or a mom or a dad, if you do this process specifically with somebody who's close to you, what you're going to find out is what they are in your life to help you develop. Are they in your life to help you develop a sense of playfulness, a sense of courage, a sense of empowerment, or vibrancy, something else? You know, once you find out somebody else's soul agenda, you'll know what they're in your life for. And I have done this process actually with couples numerous times now, and every single time we find that the soul agenda process is like hand in glove with the couples. We've also done it with a few mother and daughter pairs and one son and father pair, and same thing. It happens every single time. So I just highly encourage, if anybody's excited about this process, to do it for yourself, but do it with somebody else as well. If you have somebody in your life who would love to do it with you, because once you know each other's soul agenda, the richness of that is really beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. I'm thinking about that too. And one thing that popped into my mind was an interview I did with Dr. David Clark. He's got a wonderful book about So They Say There's Nothing Wrong. That's paraphrasing the title. For some reason, the title doesn't quite come up into my mind right now, but an awesome gastroenterologist who's worked with 7,000 patients. And he has five higher level concepts of why people come down with these conditions that are hard to diagnose. And one of them popped into my mind when you said that. And the fifth one he talks about is great relationship, bad health, I think is how he says it. Good relationship, bad health, something like that. And what was fascinating to me is he's a gastroenterologist, but what he kind of concluded from that he saw when people who had a lot of trauma, drama, toxicity in their life got into a great, loving, safe, nurturing relationship, all of a sudden they kind of, and all of that stress let down and they had some health effects. And then when they were able to work through that process of that stress and recover from that, all of a sudden then they found themselves blossoming in the ideal location. I found that whole concept completely fascinating, that once you found your right location to bloom, to be planted, it all came together for them.
I'd love to just relate to you personally. I worked with pain patients for about 10, 12 years before finding my way into coaching. And so I was primarily helping people who were in physical pain or some kind of stress-related or emotional pain stuff that was being expressed in the body. And gosh, like every time I had somebody in my office and we were talking about their physical pain, what was really underneath was a conversation that they didn't want to have. And so when we started discussing what was going on with whatever conversation they didn't want to have, so much opened up for them. So you're reminding me about that. The power of being in healthy relationships is hugely profound.
And that's why I can see doing this process together with someone, a family member, loved one in your world. I would actually recommend it doing with numerous people in your world. However, how that could be so uplifting for everyone and being able to create new paradigms for their health or a process, a new journey, new process, new experience towards healing is so critically important. Oftentimes I find our language also gives it away. How many times have we heard someone say, oh, he, she is a pain in the neck. It was a pain in the rear end. Or, oh my goodness, you know, every time I think of them, I just shrink. All sorts of things like that, that actually physically the subconscious mind manifests. It's like, oh, every time you see so-and-so, you want a pain in the neck. Okay, here you go. Fascinating to me how that works.
Exactly. And then if you are doing this process with somebody else, when you see that they're falling into the polar aspects that they don't love to feel in life, you'll be able to help recognize that. And you'll be able to, you know, ask that person certain questions, like about, you'll actually be interested and curious, like what's going on with you right now? You know, because you're going to recognize right away when they're off track. So for my husband, for example, his soul agenda is to feel in the unconditional flow of love and acceptance. So I know when he starts to get conditional, he starts to, you know, make up the rules or tell us how it's going to be or, you know, things like that. When he starts to put himself in a box, I can see it. And I have a lot more compassion for him. Whereas I might have a tendency, or I did before I knew this about him, to kind of push back, like, what's the matter with you right now? Why are you being like this? What are you doing? Once I see that, I know that he's having a little bit of a hard time. I step back. I have a lot more compassion, but I can do that because we have language around it. It's a very healthy way to be in relationship.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to encourage everyone to get the transcript because you'll notice that Anna used very different language for her two questions of when she was coming from that place of compassion was a very different question than the question she used her previous person would have used. What's wrong with you? Kind of a putting them in their place kind of question. So check back on the transcript because that's some gold for everyone there to understand how we phrase our inquiry is critically important.
Yeah, the questions that we ask ourselves, we get those answers. It's funny because I remember when I started hearing about be careful the questions that you ask yourself because you'll, you know, it changes the quality of your life. I couldn't completely wrap my head around that, but it just makes so much sense. If you're asking yourself questions like what's wrong with me, guess what answer you're going to get. If you ask your partner or somebody else in your life what's wrong with you, guess what answers you're going to get. Whereas one of my favorite questions actually, and you might resonate with this here, is where is the health? So whether it's in relationship or whether we're talking about our bodies or whatever, where is the health? What's going good? Where is the health here? Because there's always an opportunity to find health. And when we can find it, even if it feels like a little itty bitty seed, we can choose to water and grow that thing. And it provides astounding results.
Absolutely. And that's coming from that place of gratitude. Sometimes when you're in the throes of a flare or you've just been diagnosed and waking up and just grateful that you're breathing again today and here again today is all that it takes is to focus, because regardless of your spirituality, your belief systems, I think it's pretty universally accepted of what we focus on grows. So if you're focusing on that ow, 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 or that, oh, ah, 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 juicy, delicious, you'll get both. You'll get one or the other, depending on what you focus on. Oh my gosh. That's great. I'm glad you brought up that idea of over 21. I want to just restress that because that's critically important to remember that. Don't need to be going in there and trying to drill down. So we've just got about 10 minutes left. What are some things that you typically wish I'd asked, but I haven't asked yet because I'm just so excited. I love the book.
That's great. I'm glad you love the book. So one of the things I do love to talk about is the concept of natural laws. And there is a lot about natural laws in the book. But I bring it up because I want to just remind you're a part of nature. You are a part of nature. And what is happening with you, whatever is happening with you in life, is happening, if you allow it to, as an opportunity for you to gain the life experience that you really want to have. It's profound. I've seen this happen now so many times. But my point about natural law is when we can recognize that there are actually laws of nature that are operating in our lives all the time, and we can place ourselves within them. For example, you just spoke of one. water the seeds that you want to grow. Life is always growing into more life. We're always evolving. Water what you want to grow, because you can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. So that's a law of nature about the evolution of life. The more that we can put ourselves into the laws of the universe, the more successful our life is in all capacities.
I like the way you say it better. I always heard you're either growing or you're dying. And that seemed to me like, oh, wow, that was okay. It woke me up, but it was, wow.
It's not completely accurate, actually, because even death nurtures more life, more growth. Like the leaves fall off the trees in the autumn, they fall to the ground and they nourish the soil for new growth. So even that quote unquote death is nurturing life. So we're always growing. The question is, what are we growing?
Better question. I like your question better. Thank you. What are some other laws of nature that you find are quite helpful in us understanding? I know like cause and effect and the law of unintended consequences.
So the law of polarity is one of my favorites. And we already talked about it a whole lot, but I'll just mention it. That idea that we are the quarter and that the head side, you can't see when you're looking at the tails, and the tail side, you can't see when you're looking at the heads. That's a law of nature, the law of polarity. And another one that I love, and I just love to talk about, is the law of relativity. And that really is about how our minds are going to compare. So if you hear somebody say, oh, don't compare yourself with somebody else, that we can't not do that, because our minds are always going to compare. It's how we put ourselves in relation to things. So the thing is, though, we have the capacity to compare ourselves in a way that helps us rather than harms us in every moment. And we compare ourselves to other people, but we also compare ourselves to who we used to be, right? We compare ourselves to the fantasy idea of who we should be. So those are some other ways that we unfairly compare ourselves. When we can catch our comparisons, say to ourselves, how could I compare myself in a way that could help me? Another great question to ask.
That brought up a question I get asked quite a bit, and I'm always sort of baffled by it. And that's, don't you wish you had your old life back? And I find that's an interesting question. I'm never quite sure how to answer that. But the base answer is no, because that person, you know, was doing something, even though they thought they were eating healthy and sleeping and doing all the sort of the list, exercising and all of that, still ended up there. And so starting from there and starting a brand new garden and growing a brand new garden is where that switch happened. For instance, back to some of our opening conversation was that idea of context and where we can absolutely flip it. And I want to think of that kind of thing as not being a tail of the coin, maybe a shinier part of the same head of the coin or something, because I don't find either of them as a negative. The old life that brought me to that diagnosis and then the new life that happened at the time of the diagnosis, I find that they're both have great value and great understanding. And I didn't leave anything behind, really. I made some changes in habits and beliefs and choices, but the majority of the old me came along for the ride through that transition. And sometimes transition is hard for people.
Yeah, I love that you brought this up, because again, according to natural law, this law of more life, every situation has equal amounts of benefits and drawbacks. So asking the question, don't you wish you had your old life back, is actually going on the idea that your new situation doesn't have benefits. And, you know, so often, well, always, there are always benefits. So I'm just remembering that when I was in college, I did my master's thesis work on people who had ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease and were going through progressive deterioration in their bodies, but still had their mental capacities. And I wonder, for them, was, can you still create meaning and have a meaningful life in the face of progressive illness? And what I found more than anything was that the resounding answer was yes. And one of the ways in which people did find deeper meaning was the quality of their relationships. You know, they got real. The relationships got real. And they provided such a depth of possibility that they didn't have when the disease process wasn't there. They weren't paying attention to those things. So I think about that all the time when I'm thinking for myself too, about how every single situation has benefits and drawbacks. So if I can't find the benefits, they must be there. I've got to think about it.
Mine it a little deeper. And sometimes sometimes I like to look at other people in my life that are very successful in something, whether they think so or not is irrelevant to me, that I look and I go, that's an interesting behavior. I'll step into that behavior and see if I can get the change that I think would be of benefit to me. Well, that was one of the ways I learned to be a public speaker. Anyone that knows me for very long knows that I tend to be more introverted. And I have an extroverted friend. Gives whole new meaning to the word extrovert. I just love it. And how do I get up and speak in front of hundreds of people at a time? I learned, I watched, and I said, whoa, those are some behaviors. Those are some benefits that I want. And what are they doing to get to them? And then this isn't fake it till you make it, guys, because the subconscious mind goes, oh, you're just faking. This is taking it on and going, acting as if I had that benefit. And it's fascinating. The mind goes, oh, that's cool. Okay. I didn't even think about being where I like to recharge alone, which is the introverted part of me, when I'm up on stage, because I've got the behaviors and the different mindsets of the people I'm going, yeah, I would like to take that on and see if that works for me.
Our mind is that powerful. I think it's really important to remember that, because, you know, just as you're describing, we can really change things in our lives very quickly if we allow ourselves. And again, I'm hearing curiosity in what you're saying, and you're allowing yourself to be open-minded and trying on those aspects of yourself. It's so awesome.
It's a game I play. It's a fun game, yeah. I play. It keeps me busy. We're just down to the last 4 minutes. My goodness, time flew here, Ani. So share with us more about you and your work, where we can find about your work, as well as where we can buy your awesome book. And if you're on video, I'm going to show this cover again so you can see what the cover is like when you go online to find it.
Yeah, so the website for the book is really easy. It's findyoursoulsagenda.com. And it's the easiest place to go and find the different ways that you can access the book, because the Kindle book is on Amazon and the audio book is on Audible, and the soft cover, the paperback copy, comes through us. So all of that stuff is there, as well as some free downloads. And, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but I actually do love to have conversations with people. So there's a contact form. I actually answer my emails, and I love to hear from people. So, and, you know, any questions about resources, I'm always happy to field those questions. And that can all be found at findyoursoulsagenda.com.
Oh, fantastic. We love that. We'll have that up on the website, as well as audio and the video of the show here. If you've got a great idea for a guest to just like, Ani here was like, maybe you're saying, well, she's not exactly autoimmune, but as you could tell, this really does help people with a diagnosis, getting you through it. Once I read the book, I said, we've got to have her on, because I think her work is profound. So if you've got a great idea for a guest, go over to understandingautoimmune.com, drop me a quick note, and let's explore it. As well as while you're over there, become part of our Courage Club too. We'd love to have you be part of our community. You can also find us on Facebook at Autoimmune Hour on Facebook, on Twitter, and Instagram. I lose all of those, but that's where we are. You can find us on the social media and connect with us there as well. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next Friday for a brand new episode. As always, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Take a nice deep breath and let it out with a sigh. That's right. Just feel everything dissipate. Any little stress. Move your body to shake it out. Let your fingertips wiggle. Wiggle your toes to let any little stress release. As you continue to take nice, deep, cleansing breaths. That's right. Find a favorite spot. You can picture it in your mind, the colors, the textures, the patterns, the smells. Take a moment just to drink it in. Savor the moment. How much you appreciate being here right now. That's right. And from this vantage point of appreciation, begin to think of others that you appreciate. That's right. Who in your life do you appreciate? And from this place that you appreciate, holding dear all those people you appreciate, to stay in this place of appreciation and savor it all. That's right. Let all of the appreciation for this place, your favorite place, the people that you appreciate, the things and the happenings and the experiences that you appreciate, just bubble up and well up inside you. That's right. As you begin to feel lighter, more confident. That's right. Appreciation is a miracle worker, isn't it? Knowing that you can take this appreciation with you at all times, wherever you go, whenever you want it, you're able to bring it right back up. That's right. Take one moment to again acknowledge it all and begin to come back again, full of gratitude and appreciation, confidence and courage, ready to begin your day again, ready to start anew, full of appreciation and ready to go. That's right. One nice last deep breath, full and feeling of appreciation as you come back now. That's right. Welcome back.